Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke. Are you there?
Good morning. It's a lovely, awesome morning.
Yeah.
Lots of colours in the sky.
Yes, I can't quite see it from the studio here in BFM, but yeah, I'll take your word for it. Now, Kirsten,
Awesome. Kirsten,
we are talking about hyperpop as a genre this morning. Where do
now,
we start
is this
with
something you know about?
I feel like BFM kind of like touches on the fringe of some hyperpop sometimes. The odd song will sneak into the digital library here and be on playlist for a while. Yeah, it's
yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah, I think it does happen. We hear it here on the station.
I'm going to say, you know, I'm coming not from a place of knowing about it. I'm coming from a place about, you know, just researching about it this last week. So please excuse, you know, like if people are going to, no, that's not wrong. I've just, you know, scoured the internet and trying to find things. So I could be getting things wrong. So people are they said it's a micro genre. I don't know. It seemed a little bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing was talking about, like, it was a real 2010s thing and practically dead by 2020. But then other stuff talked about it's really thrived during COVID because people were making music in their bedrooms again. So I'm like, oh, okay. But some people say it's the future of pop music. Let's say genreless pop, new aesthetic. It's loosely defined. It's maximalist and exaggerated take on music. Here's a nice one. Pop music that's grown up on a diet of itself. And
yes.
That was in GQ magazine.
You know,
and that's a pretty major publication.
I feel like it's still, yeah, it's bubbling away. It's being made. I think the scene is pretty strong. You know, for people that are into it, I think it's definitely, yeah, it's still rolling. Actually, the first song, we're going to go with this Kiro Benito. Where are
yeah,
we starting?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to start with that. This is something which is actually on playlist at BFM whenever it came out. I do recognize this. Yeah.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Now, where do we start? What are the are there rules or boundaries with hyperpop?
This one like is a proper band. I mean, yeah, they do stuff in their bedroom, but you know they are a band and work together. So they it was a duo, two dudes, and then they found their lead singer, who she is part Japanese, and she talks about being, you know, mixed Japanese and bilingual, which then she does bilingual raps. And this has an even weirder story. So it came out in 2014. But then in 2017, someone made a little video of it on YouTube with, you know, a new music video to it, sort of a parody video, and that got 25 million views. So it like became a meme. So I mean, I just feel like music's so different now, you know, with YouTube and memes, you know, like that's just not a typical band story, is it?
Mm.
You know, like so yeah, it is very internet. And well, even the song, so the band is Kiro Benito, and so apparently Kiro is in Japanese what frogs say. Japanese frogs don't say ribbit. Do you know that in different countries animals all say different things?
I can understand that, but
isn't that funny? Like and then Benito is a type of fish. But also in Spanish, bonito means pretty. I think there's another, muy bonito. You know, there's another meme about that. So anyway, they're sort of going for this global audience that has, can cope with sort of multiple layers of language and stuff.
Is there, obviously, I don't know, are there regional variations in hyperpop, or is it more of a global internet-driven thing?
Well, I think there's some time variations as to when I mean, this is London. I guess maybe that's why it is different. I think that our other two guys are American. I think what I'm talking about. And so maybe that's why these guys are more like a band.
So maybe
just different scenes.
The thing that kind of strikes me with hyperpop is do they engage with the concept of authenticity, or is it like more of an artificial type thing? I can't put my finger on it.
Well, I guess because authentic pop is about, you know, fun, pleasure, and it has that, and it's about simplicity. I mean, obviously, pop can be very more simplicity of access, not simplicity of music layering, because it can be. So I think it keeps all that stuff with pop. So maybe it's just because it's on an indie label, you know? I mean, obviously that song had weirdness. I guess we can see if the other, you know, because it's about a shrimp. Without the gatekeeper of major labels, you know? So maybe we can see if the other songs have some of those same elements. I mean, definitely the electronic stuff. I read one thing that says it's a combination of electronic, hip-hop, and avant-garde. So maybe it's the avant-garde that sort of,
yes,
you know.
Yeah. Apparently someone has just texted through saying that song gets played on the kids show here on BFM. There we go.
Oh, yeah. See, you know, most bands don't go around trying to make kids music. But it has that parody element, you know, like sweet. Now, apparently there's a London label that they signed Sophie. So Sophie's one of the big famous ones. And Charlie XCX.
Mm-hmm.
Is it XCX? XCX. Yeah, so, you know, it's like a happening thing, but it still has that sort of, you know, like it's very online genre, as often short songs.
Mm-hmm.
Very pro, queer, friendly. Yeah, so other things I'm saying, it's a new aesthetic, but, you know, we're talking about 15 years.
Yeah, but with hyperpop often being associated with the LGBTQ+ and online subcultures, why do you think the genre resonates so strongly with those communities?
I guess because the people making it are from that community. You know, so it's a, I mean, we have gatekeepers, right, with record labels. You know, mm-hmm. record labels got to make money, and so they have to choose who they think's going to make money, and whether that's, you know, people that they find beautiful and thin, or whether it's people that aren't going to upset people by being straight. You know what I mean? You know, obviously we've had heaps of queer artists, but, you know, they have to try to bet.
Hmm.
Whereas if it's just people making their bedroom, there's no gatekeeper saying, I can't invest $10 million in
because
I don't know if you're going to sell that much. So that's where you get that more freedom. I know, you know, it's capitalism and people bag record companies, but, you know, there's small labels too, and they got to make a dime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you go.
I was going to say, which one you want to pay next is probably what you were going to ask.
Well, should we play the Icarus tune? Can you tell us about, how do I pronounce the name of this artist?
Glaive.
Okay.
It's with them. Non-capital letters.
No capital letters. Increase the distance between you and your father. I know it's not my business, but I just keep on calling. I know the. This is pretty new. This is only a couple years old, this one.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I feel like it's not going away. It hasn't died. This is a pop song.
Little pop song, yeah. Do you think hyperpop's been embraced by the, well, you know, we're talking about the majors. Has it been embraced by the majors or the mainstream audiences and the music industry?
Well, this guy's, he's on Billie Eilish's record label now.
Ah, okay. He's crossed over.
He was like, yeah, so, I mean, then is it still hyperpop, you know? But, I mean, you can hear, I guess, it's really hard to, like you said, put your finger on. Like, you can hear what it is.
Mm.
How do you describe it? Definitely electronic. I guess this is a DIY sound. People with this guy talk about Lil Peep and Justin Bieber. You know, he sort of, he was really young. I think he's 19 now. You know, what have you all done with your lives?
Yeah. I mean, what's the role of digital technology and internet culture in all of this and shaping the sound of hyperpop and its aesthetic?
Oh, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything. And I don't know, you know, like which, I don't know even what software does this to voices that he's using, and like how much money do you have to spend? Do you have to spend $5,000 or is it $500 to have this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So he just made this in his North Carolina bedroom during COVID. And in fact, because he blew up so much, he didn't know how to do live performances, you know.
Yes.
So like when you're a band, you know, you start off doing live performances for years, where he had never done that. He just went straight from the bedroom, and so like he didn't know how.
Mm.
So such a modern story, I guess.
Yes. You do hear that story more and more often. Yeah. Thanks to the power of the internet, you're famous. Yeah,
I know.
And you gotta play live now. Yeah.
And then everyone else has been grinding away like, yeah. Spotify, SoundCloud, Instagram Live, you know, that's another one people are using. So it's just, yeah, this whole different world that I feel like, yeah, record labels are just sort of catching up on, except for obviously some of the smaller, more in touch labels.
Now we're going for it. The next song we've got is a cover of a Stone Cold classic.
Yeah, which is an interesting take. So this is a Little Dipper. He's from Chicago. And this is his cover of Mrs. Robinson, which he says he's trying to put on it, stamp on it, the print of a new generation, or camouflage more representative of our era of music onto her.
All right.
So
let's see if they're doing justice. Let's go. Oh, that's quite nice.
To know a little more about you, we'd like to help you learn to help yourself. Look around you, all you see is sympathetic eyes.
How would you say hyperpop is challenging the traditional notions of genre and music production?
Well, I think it is just a genre. Like, we can hear the electronic effects. Like, it thinks it's not a genre, but it is. Just like anything else, but it just has this kind of weirdness, avant-garde flavor to it that makes them think they're different. But I think, you know, to be a genre just means you can sort of put a circle around it. You know, you can identify certain aspects of it. And I think you can, maybe because it's still in flux, that maybe they think it's defined genre, you know, because new people can come around and push the levels. I feel this is very hyperpop. For one of his concerts, he says, "If you've always wanted to see me embarrass myself, this is absolutely your chance." It's just such a different vibe than other music.
Nothing better than a little bit of self-depreciation.
That's right. So he says that this song was just a bad idea. Yeah, so that's self, yeah, you know, like, it's, yeah, very different than other genre, which I think makes it a genre because it has these really defining characteristics.
I feel like, have you not done hyperpop before? I thought you would have got, you know.
I think we've probably done it like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I do have it all cataloged someplace in an Excel file. I should have looked it up.
Going to the candidates debate. Laugh about it, chat about it, you gotta choose.
It still feels very new. It still feels like it's...
It does.
It's happening.
But I guess it's new with the vintage feel. You know what? Yeah. It reminds me of this... I don't know if you guys were alive during the beginning of Instagram. Had these filters that made things look old.
Yes.
And everybody was using that to make their stuff look like 1970s. That's what this feels like.
Now, one last question for you, Kristen. Where do you see hyperpop evolving into the future?
Well, that's the question. Does it become... You know what? Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to tell... This is my pessimistic story. It's going to be picked up by mainstream artists. You know, Britney Spears is going to start doing it.
Okay.
And Taylor Swift. And then it ruins it. Isn't that... That's what we see happen. That's the story. So that's a bad story. I don't know. It's just like, what do they want? They don't want to become super, super famous because then that's anti what it's about. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like punk, you know, that same story. If your whole shtick is built on being anti-mainstream, then what happens when you become mainstream? You know, does it ruin it? And some people think it does, you know.
Mm-hmm. Rowan has just texted through saying, I thought the defining feature of hyperpop was pitched up vocals. And I would say pretty much bang on there, right?
Yeah, would there be ones that don't have it? But definitely the tracks he played today, absolutely.
All pitched up. Yeah, excellent. Hey, Dr. Kirsten Zemke, thank you so much for Travelling Tunes this morning. We'll look forward to next week. Okay, cheers, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.